The first reading today is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare a way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I say, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower dies when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God shall stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. The second reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 1 to 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Can I pray for you?
Yeah, well done for not burning the vicar's child when you did the candles. That's one tick for the bishop's report.
Great. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for Paul and all that he is. Will you bless his words as he speaks to us today? May your Holy Spirit come upon him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Adam. So when we recorded that thing the other day, I was reminded of how bad my jokes are. And I realised that my jokes come more with situations and things. I mean, it's just amazing, isn't it? How many people wearing camel's hair do you see, eating wild honey and locusts in the middle of Windsor nowadays? Not many, no. And actually, the other thing I was thinking was, you know, if you were to put that in today, it just seems really weird, doesn't it? Let's be honest, a lot of the Bible seems really weird because it happened 2,000 years ago in a different culture than we're used to today. And yet we know God's word is timeless, that it's eternal and speaks to us. And so we believe that God has something to say to us today through his word. And what's even better is that from what I say, I know God will speak. If we're open and opening our hearts to him, he will speak to each of us very differently in the things that are important to him. So let's just take a look, if possible, at this video. Exciting, that, isn't it? Amazing things you can find on the internet. Now, that guy there is making a path straight. You might think, what on earth? But the thing, quite literally, you get a bit. The thing is that as he was coming down that steep slope there, making a straight path, he was doing so in order to connect the road with his farm. Without that path being straight, there's no way that he would be able to get things into his farm and make a livelihood. It was really essential. But did you notice that this was no M40 cut through that you see as you go through towards Oxford? This was a path that was still really quite, quite earthy, rocky. You know, it was going to be difficult, wasn't it? But the way had been made straight. And so God calls comfort to his people. And Isaiah gives that comfort. And I'm sure none of us are strangers to the skill of comforting somebody when a situation gets out of control. But I'm not sure I'd use all of the words that Isaiah said. He said, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert way a highway for God. I think that's okay. Could get away with saying that nowadays. How about this? Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Does that give you comfort? Does it? No? Sort of? Sort of. Okay, interesting. Because... Yeah. So it's a journey with God. And I guess in some ways you're also reading your relationship with Jesus into how you hear that as well. It's hard. It's impossible to read Scripture and undo knowing Jesus, isn't it? Once you know him, it's like my gran had a thing that had Jesus on it. And the Jesus that was written was in like straight, like matchstick type things. And when I looked at it at first, I had no idea what it said. It just like these sorts of weird pattern on dark wood. Has anyone seen one of those? And then all of a sudden, one day, I saw the name Jesus on it. And she said to me, now you've seen that, you will never unsee it again. And that is true with Scripture. When we know Jesus, we see it from a completely different point of view. And in 2016, I thought that God, it was clear. And, you know, Jesus had clearly said to me and the family, we've got to go to Bristol. And so we'd lived in West London and in Maidenhead all of our lives. And then Shree, the kids, and I were moved and uprooted to go to Bristol, where we knew absolutely no one. God was making ways straight so that, we were making the way straight, I suppose, so as we could go to Bristol so I could train for ministry. And we moved an hour and a half away from our family into an unknown area, given up my work that I'd done for 14 years and a job that I'd loved. We left our friends, we left our church, who were also our friends and family, and the hospital that had supported me through a medical condition at that time for 19 years. Only the contents of our house remained the link to our lives in the past. We knew nobody in Bristol, although we had been blessed in arriving at a planted community where we knew that they were followers of Jesus. So that made something easy. Was it any easier, Adam? No, it isn't, is it? He went to the same college as me. And we knew that nobody felt in the same way as we did. Everybody was in a different place. Fresh starts sound fantastic, but they can also be really painful. Now, I wouldn't say that our lives were a desert place or a place parched of life and flourishing, but our time in Bristol began, and I slowly realized that there was stuff that I needed to sort out with God. He quite often does that, doesn't he? Just at the time you feel at your lowest in something, God reminds you that you need to rely upon him. It's easy sometimes, isn't it, when things are going well, just to say, yeah, it's all good, we'll carry on as we are, to think that we've got everything sorted, and then something happens. A couple of examples in that would be my dependence on God and not myself, but also the fact that, as I've said in the past, that teaching had become part of my identity, and I knew God needed to work through that with me. I knew things were going to be different, but I didn't know quite how different they would be. And I couldn't imagine how, by making straight that highway, that path, that God would be working in me and through me to prepare me and my family. Rather than being a prophet of doom, Isaiah comforts the Lord's people. He says, they basically, at that point, just to give you a bit of context, they hadn't yet been exiled to the foreign land. In this case, not Bristol, but Babylon. God's people were in a mess and they were about to be dispersed to that foreign land, which was a place where their culture and their comforts would have been taken away from them through a foreign invasion in their own home, a home that God had given them. Despite this, Isaiah said that God would eventually reunite Judah and Israel, which is the southern and northern communities of God's people. And after losing their homes, they'd eventually be allowed home to live in the land that God had given them. God would then unite the southern people of Judah with the northerners of Israel. His method for this would be Cyrus the Great. Can you believe that? A foreign king. Isn't it amazing? Founder of the Persian Empire, who overthrew Babylon around 500 years before Jesus was born. Some years later, in the book of Ezra, we read, "In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord moved the heart of the king to make a proclamation. The king said, 'The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him in Jerusalem in Judah.'" Now, if you'd have been in that room, would you have just done a double take at that point? Why? "Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem, and may their God be with them. And in any locality where survivors may now be living, the people are to provide them with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with freewill offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem." They'd not just be allowed to go, they would be absolutely blessed. This isn't about surviving, but about thriving. And of course, there is a context to how they saw gods in those days and things like that that we bear in mind. And if you want to know a bit about that, have a chat with me and also definitely take a look at the book of Ezra. Proof, if you needed anything, though, that God can still bring his plan to fruition, including through those who are unbelievers. And here's the great thing. God is not completely dependent upon us. Isn't that good? I'm just really grateful about that. And so around 170 years later, after Isaiah's prophecy, God's people returned home and the temple was rebuilt. After the land had once again changed overseers a few times more and the land of milk and honey had become a province of the Roman Empire, we then enter John the Baptist and Jesus? Yeah, Jesus. In all the inconsistency, in all the unknown of life, God would be consistent. He would look after his people, and the Lord would bring comfort to them. He did that through faithful followers like Isaiah, using the circumstances that his people found themselves in. He worked through those who didn't call upon his name to bring about his will. And last but not least, of course, he'd bring lasting comfort in and through Jesus. Our Emmanuel, our God with us. God's people, circumstances, the world, and Jesus are all the ways that the Lord still brings his will into our lives. And of course, he brings his will into our lives through Jesus, when we've given our lives to him. He did that for us in a big way when we moved to Bristol, but he also does it in the mundane too, the everyday. In adversity, God would bring comfort. God's character was and is consistent. Despite people's inconsistency, he would bring comfort in all circumstances and will bring comfort in all circumstances for us today too. He will be consistent despite all the inconsistencies that we face in life, both ones that we've brought about and others have. Do you feel comfort in knowing that today? Is that something that gives you hope? I hope it is. So I wonder, what are the areas of life where we sometimes see inconsistency? Maybe wanting to live for God, but finding ourselves drawn more to the ways of the world. Maybe relationships with others where we want to think, speak, and act in a godly way, but that we find ourselves drawn to gossip, or maybe fitting in with the crowd, or being quick to judge others. Temptations maybe to see and live for the moment rather than just the eternal, everlasting call that Jesus has put on our hearts. And wanting to use the time and talents entrusted to us generously, but finding ourselves being generous to self and putting others last. This has been the human condition that has existed since the fall, when Adam and Eve turned away from God. It's inbuilt into our DNA, inherited and passed down through the generations. And actually, I mean that seriously. Do you know they have found that when people, in the build-up to the Second World War, when the Jewish people were subjected to the to all of the hurts and the stresses that they were put under, one of the things that they have found is that actually there is a DNA trait that's seen from stressful events that is still found in Jewish DNA. I was hearing about it a number of years ago, and it staggered me to realize that our circumstances around us do affect us, and therefore, if it's in the DNA, they affect our children and our children's children. Now, isn't it interesting? We would say, wouldn't we, that some people would say, well, hold on a minute, where's the evidence? Well, there is the evidence. It was in the Bible thousands of years ago. Not surprising, because God made us out of nothing. Can you see the inconsistency? Repeated behaviors that connect neurons in our brains that encourage us to repeatedly do ungodly actions again and again and again. Another thing that has been scientifically explained. Here's the good news, friends, because there's loads. God isn't inconsistent. He alone is completely dependable. Jesus is the one who will satisfy our needs and solve our problems. Where we are mortal and limited, God is eternal and will not fail us. This truth can bring peace to our hearts. Isaiah gives the message, get your house in order. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight what is a desert road for God. The reason he said that was because God himself would intervene. He would set his people free. Friends, in our inconsistency, freedom could and will only come through Jesus. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the desert, a highway for our God. Those words were prophesying not only for God's to-be exiled people from their land, but also those who John the Baptist then spoke those words to in preparing them to meet Jesus. And so they are words to help you and me meet Jesus today. God's word is living and breathing. So the words that Isaiah prophesied are true for us now. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Isaiah said, all people are grass. Their consistency is like a flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, and the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, but the word of our God will stand forever. Deep down, the broken human condition of all in Isaiah's John the Baptist and our own times is the same. We all need to get right with God, and we all need a relationship with him. In Isaiah's time, that was found through sacrifices in the temple. Later, Jesus became the final sacrifice on the cross, and through his resurrection, he made the temple in Jerusalem's role in atoning relationship redundant forever. Why? Because in sending his Holy Spirit to live in our hearts, we became, the Holy Spirit became the temple, We became the temple that the Holy Spirit came to live in. That is incredible, isn't it? And if you understand that, then come and have a chat with me and explain it to me later. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul reminds his people, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own." When we invite God to work within our hearts, he will transform us. He will do that work if we are open to him. That's why in life's wilderness, we are to prepare the way for the Lord, to make straight the desert for a highway for God, to be ready to invite Jesus into our lives. Now, do you notice there? There's that make way the desert for a highway for our God. It's God that will build the highway. We need to make the path straight, but he will do it. You don't need to be in the tractor. He will do the straightening out of the path. We just need to be open to him doing it. And then we can be temples of the Holy Spirit with our living God inside us, inside our hearts, making him known, being God's light to the world. It's good news, isn't it? Get up to a high mountain, people of God, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. Read a bit later on in Isaiah, and you see that it's the same one that was crucified on the cross on Good Friday. But then he defeated sin and was raised to life. And that is the news that God calls us to share. Good news for our hearts. Good news for the world. You and I haven't just received God's grace. We're also messengers of his grace to the world. The Lord has called you and me to partner with him in sharing that good news with others in this broken world. And so, friends, this Advent, let's make straight the highway preparation for our God, so as he can build that highway so that we can walk with him. And let's help others make straight pathways too for the Lord. Shall we pray? Just encourage you, if you can, to stand for a moment. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you're with us. We thank you that your Spirit is at work in our hearts. And Lord, we first and foremost say that we trust you. You are our God. We are your people. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to trust you. Help us to prepare the desert place so that you would bring your highway, Lord, with all its bumps and its gradients, which are our lives. We know you can do it. And though the path may not be easy, we choose to trust you.